Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
There has been a lot of attention paid to language in the report about the president's memory, so let me say a few words about that. My task was to determine whether the president retained or disclosed national defense information willfully. That means knowingly and with the intent to do something the law forbids. I could not make that determination without assessing the president's state of mind. For that reason, I had to consider the president's memory and overall mental state and how a jury likely would perceive his memory and mental state in a criminal trial. These are the types of issues that prosecutors analyze every day. And because these issues were important to my ultimate decision, I had to include a discussion of them in my report to the Attorney General. The evidence and the president himself put his memory squarely at issue. We interviewed the president and asked him about his recorded statement. Quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. He told us that he didn't remember saying that to his ghostwriter. He also said he didn't remember finding any classified material in his home after his vice presidency.
It's one thing to forget a date. It's one thing to forget maybe the specific actions of a date. We've all done it. It's another thing to have said to your ghostwriter, oh, look, classified documents, and then for the special counsel, go all Junior Soprano. These are two very, very different things. The voice that you just heard is that of Robert Hur, last name H-U-R, the special counsel, who wrote that, yeah, Biden had classified documents everywhere, but I'm not bringing charges because this is a really nice old guy with memory issues. And is discussing it on the stand, if you will, or on the panel today, in front of the House Judiciary Committee, just as you heard it.
And he didn't remember anything about how classified documents about Afghanistan made their way into his garage. My assessment in the report about the relevance of the president's memory was necessary and accurate and fair. Most importantly, what I wrote is what I believe the evidence shows and what I expect jurors would perceive and believe. I did not sanitize my explanation, nor did I disparage the president unfairly. I explained to the Attorney General my decision and the reasons for it. That's what I was required to do.
Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. 833-GOT-TONY. 833-468-8669. Now, Democrats don't want to hear anything about this. Democrats have made this entire hearing today about Trump. 24-7. Trump, Trump, Trump. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else matters. Eric Swalwell was doing questioning. It's all about Trump. I mean, this is part of Jamie Raskin, the absolutely horrible congressman from Maryland. I mean, this is a guy who questioned the election results of 2016 of Trump and then had the audacity to sit as an impeachment manager when Trump is questioning things in 2020. I mean, his testimony is, or his questions and his comments are something else.
Last week for the whole country to see. The desperate quest to invent an issue is a distraction from the 91 federal and state federal charges that Donald Trump faces now, his staggering civil court losses in New York now totaling more than $500 million, and his full-blown embrace and romance with authoritarian dictators and communist tyrants all over the world, from Viktor Orban in Hungary to Vladimir Putin in Russia, the former head of the KGB, to the communist dictator of North Korea.
I should be clear. I despise Jamie Raskin. I think Jamie Raskin is a jerk face. I think he is a disgusting, disgusting person. I don't mind that he doesn't like Donald Trump. I don't mind that he doesn't want Trump to be reelected. I mind that he's a snake. I mind that he is absolutely, in my view, dishonest in these types of conversations. None of this matters. Now, try and get Democrats to understand this, accept this, agree with this. No. Why should they? They don't have to go along with this. All they have to do is keep saying Trump bad, not question what's wrong with Joe Biden. This is Pramila Jayapal asking questions of the special counsel.
Has a particular legal meaning, and I want to make sure that that meaning is absolutely clear to the American people before we go any further. As you wrote in your report, to prove as a matter of law that the president, quote, willfully retained any documents, you would need to prove beyond a reasonable doubt two elements. First, that the president knowingly retained or disclosed national defense information, and second, that he knew that this conduct was unlawful. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And to be
And I'm sorry, Congressman, that it was national defense information. That's an important third element.
Okay, thank you. To be very, very clear, you did not find sufficient evidence to prove either of those elements beyond a reasonable doubt to show that Mr. Biden willfully retained any of the classified national defense materials that were recovered during your investigation, correct?
My conclusion was that the admissible evidence was not sufficient to make conviction at trial a probable outcome.
Not sufficient. Thank you. Let me ask you about a few specific examples so the American people are clear.
Joe Biden had classified information on him. So we're clear. This has been stated now again and again in this testimony from the special counsel, Robert Hur. When asked by Daryl Issa if he reached a conclusion that President Biden was outright innocent, Hur responded, "That conclusion is not reflected in my report, sir." You see, questions about Biden, the ones that Jayapal is actually asking, is about what the report actually says. And while I'm not a fan of Pramila Jayapal, and I've got some audio later regarding the border, it's going to make you lose your skull. She's at least discussing the issue at hand. That's not what Jamie Raskin's doing. Jamie Raskin is not discussing the issue at hand. Let's go to somebody else that nobody likes, who is Gerald Nadler, the congressman from New York. I ask you, does this from Gerald Nadler make sense in relationship to the special counsel report on Joe Biden?
Mr. Chairman, I'm glad you have such information, such admiration for the president that you allowed him to take the first 10 minutes of this hearing. Mr. Chairman, House Republicans may be desperate to convince America that white conservative men are on the losing end of a two-tiered justice system, a theory that appeals to the MAGA crowd but has no basis in reality. But your comments today make me wonder if you have read the special counsel's report at all. The Hur report does help us draw a distinction between President Biden and Donald Trump, just not the one you want.
What in the world is he talking about conservative men, two-tiered justice? Guys, focus matters here. And sometimes the focus has nothing to do with does the report say this or does the report say that or not say this or not say that. The report was the starting gun of, hey, everybody, Joe Biden's an old man. And that's not going away. It's not going away, so why would we even think that it is? Did Joe Biden have classified documents? Yes. Is it now reported through this conversation, through this testimony, that it was pride? He believed he should be able to keep this and keep that, like, for example, his private diaries, which had classified information in the diaries. He said, they're mine, I'm keeping them. They're my diaries, I'm going to keep them. That doesn't mean that you get the right to. Doesn't mean that. There's a whole conversation to be had about whether or not he can keep classified documents. But let's not forget the big difference if we're going to be the people who want to talk about Biden versus Trump. Trump was president. Biden was not. Biden was vice president. Biden was senator. He has absolutely no way of declassifying anything. Trump, in my view, can declassify anything. This is what the Supreme Court conversation is going to be about. But the left's desperation is to make this about Trump. Our conversation should be about what it is Joe Biden has done and whether or not his age is a factor in an election for not just us, just but for all of America. This is what the left doesn't want to discuss, and this is why I have to dismiss people like the despicable Jamie Raskin and others, because they are not engaged in a conversation of honesty. If Joe Biden is too old to take the stand, if in every single conversation, I don't know what that box is, I don't know what these documents are, I don't know when I spoke to this person, I don't know when I spoke to that person. He's Uncle Junior in The Sopranos, season 5. We'll start calling him Joey the Chin Gigante. You guys know Vinny the Chin, right? The story of Vinny the Chin? Vinny the Chin Gigante, at the end of his life, in his New York abode, would walk around the streets in his pajamas. That's how he proved that he was mentally incapacitated. He couldn't stand trial. Now, maybe he actually was mentally incapacitated. Maybe, indeed, he was. But when we have to utilize these as the comparisons and the cultural touchstones to Joe Biden, that's a story. And it's a story that can't be denied and certainly should not be denied. And that is the story that we're addressing. That's where we're at. Joe Biden is an old man who Robert Hur determined couldn't actually defend himself and no jury was going to go after him. So let's not do this thing. But doesn't change the fact that the classified documents were in his home. And they were not under lock and key. And his drug-addled son could have had access to them. But if for some reason people don't want to pay attention to that part, one cannot deny that Joe Biden was too old, too fragile, didn't have a good enough memory to be able to defend himself. And that's the story. And as much as these progressives want this not to be the story and want to move the story to Trump, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. There's absolutely nothing that changes that reality. Joe Biden is an old man. And the transcripts confirm that he has massive, in my words, memory lapses. Now, I know what you're saying. Tony, would you just stop talking about this already? We want Biden to be on the ticket because Biden's totally beatable. We don't want these people in power anymore. Shut up, cat. Just shut up. I hear you. But even if I said nothing, the Democrats know it too, which is why I argue they're replacing Biden on the ticket, and it will come at the convention, whether I say anything or not. Because while their lackeys on the Judiciary Committee may be screaming about Trump, at the Democratic Party HQ, they know that Joe Biden's an old man with memory lapses, and they know that America knows it. Robert Hur, in this hearing today, just confirming what we knew in the report, what we knew to be true, and more people agree with. I mean, that's the result of this hearing. I'm Tony Katz. So some of you have noted that I've upset some trolls who have taken the side of Hamas. You follow me on the socials, follow me on X at Tony Katz, TONYKATZ. And you've seen some of the things coming my way. Tony Katz, again, that's me. The show is Tony Katz today. So it's good to have you here. It's good to be able to have the conversation with you. The phone number, 833-468-8669. I shouldn't even be engaging with these freaks anyway. If you're supporting Hamas, why am I wasting my time? Why is anybody? They are supportive of the idea that Israel is the enemy and somehow the taking of hostages can't even be discussed. Why take the time? Part of me thinks that because somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. I think you have to take the time. The other part of me is like, you're totally right. These people are freaks. They're absolute freaks. They are the lowest of the low. Who cares what they have to say about anything? Which is really and truly the way I should go about it, right? I should not engage these freaks, these absolutely terrible, terrible people. But I will deliver on a certain reality. Man, there really are some terrible people out there. I mean, terrible. And they do support terrorists. They do. You know, I've made the argument before that when it comes to what's going on in Israel, the attack from the terrorist organization Hamas, the murder of 1,300, the war that has come from this, the lies of the Hamas numbers that people want to quote, well, 30,000 people dead and it's all women and children. No, it's not. Well, then, okay, tough guy, what's the number? That's just it. We don't know. But Hamas lies. We've got the statisticians who could show you the impossibility of their numbers. Why not just admit that? As Gil Hoffman explained from honestreporting.com, when the Surfside condo in Florida collapsed, it took a month to figure out how many people were dead. There was one condo in Florida, one condo building. Might take a little while to figure this one out. But Hamas numbers are accurate to a person, never get revised downward. Oh, we made a mistake. We counted somebody twice. You couldn't count out 43 jelly beans without counting it twice. But Hamas has got it figured out, with all due respect. And I want to make sure I'm saying this with clarity, because sometimes these things of mine sometimes get lost in translation. Bitch, please. Who are you kidding with this? Of course the number is a fraud. And I think it's important to say that and push back on that. But why am I arguing with somebody who wants to quote these numbers? It's like arguing with Joe Biden. He quotes these numbers in the State of the Union. We're all supposed to just sit quietly. Joe Biden, again, a dumb old man who clearly is not on the side of Israel. Now, let me say it again. Joe Biden, not on the side of Israel. Joe Biden is not on the side of Israel. Now, some people say, you see, Tony, the problem is Israel, yeah, they are supposed to do what we tell them to do. We don't have to send them any weapons. We don't have to send them this, that, and the other. They better do what we tell them. Theory. I hear what you're saying. The counter argument. I didn't say you had to send them any weapons. You just understand that if they aren't able to purchase missiles to restock Iron Dome, you're saying that the country should just die. You see, if they do what they tell, what you want to tell them to do, they die. If they don't do it, you also want them to die. So we should at least be clear, trolls online. You want them to die. This is what you want. And so that's why I think I need to keep talking about it. That's why I think I need to respond to these people, because it really does shine a light on just how ugly their point of view is. They are what they are. But if you ever want to chime in at Tony Katz on X or the stuff on Facebook, Tony Katz Radio, feel free. You're more than welcome. But you will not believe the level of ugly that's out there. Now, remember, it is social media, so this is not only ugly, this is ugly in their pajamas in their mom's basement. Like, this is ugly and also very pent up for never having sex. Man, I would not want to live that way at all. But I can't pity these people. They're just too despicable. I'm Tony Katz.
White House question, Mr. President, why did you share classified information with your ghostwriter? The President, I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Herr?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yeah, so it's a lie, is just what regular people would say, right? Yeah, all right. So the next one. And all the stuff that was in my home was in filing cabinets that were either locked or able to be locked. That wasn't true either, was it?
That was inconsistent with the findings of our investigation.
Another lie, people might say, right?
Oh, my. Well, when I have discussed that Joe Biden had classified documents around his Delaware home that were easily accessible by his drug-addled son, I guess I was right. Hold on, wait, what was that? I wasn't alone in saying that. You said that as well. Well, then you were right too. Look at us. Look at us just hanging out, being right. Oh, gosh. Get some bourbon. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. That is the number. That is just some of the testimony from Robert Herr, the special counsel, who is looking at the classified documents of Joe Biden. I mean, it's still going on.
Access controls at the Penn Biden Center, but we did get a handle on people who had access to the office space during the time period when we believed the materials were there. And there were other people, including students and some foreign dignitaries that visited that facility at the time.
Very good. You anticipated my next question. So when the boxes were discovered to have classified documents more than 5 years later, who discovered these boxes? It was Patrick Moore. Is that correct?
Correct. One of the president's personal counsel.
And did Mr. Moore have some type of active security clearance at the time?
No.
How about the executive assistant at the Penn Biden Center?
No.
On page 265.
Yeah, it just gets worse. Gets worse from there. But not as bad as the state of Maine. I have stated before on this very program the abuse of children is unacceptable, and the idea that you think that children can change their gender and should be allowed to have surgeries to mutilate themselves is abuse. It's abuse. It is what it is, and I apologize to no one for speaking in this honest way. I apologize to no one, and I won't apologize for the honesty. I won't do it. The state of Maine is now hearing from a group of Republican attorneys general. And what they are saying is you're mad. There's a piece of legislation known as LD-227. And what it would do, as reported by Fox News, would prohibit interference with abortion or sex change procedures and legally protect medical workers from facing lawsuits. So there's another way to view this. A parent, and this is how it's reported, whose child went to Maine, the state of Maine, for a sex change surgery would have no legal recourse, even though they live in a state where such operations are illegal. The state of Maine wants to tell young children, children in general, you don't have to have permission from your parents. Your parents aren't in charge. You're 15. You can make your own decisions. Come here. We will absolutely cut you up. And the doctors are protected and you're protected. And there ain't a damn thing your disgusting, terrible, awful, non-affirming parents can do about it. Maine, the flag of Maine should really be just a windowless van with a guy who's got one of the doors open and a handful of candy saying, come on in, it'll be fun. So you've got the Attorney General of Tennessee, and there's a host of other groups on this saying that this is, you're involved in a constitutional issue here. If Maine pursues LD-227's constitutionally defective approach, we will vigorously avail ourselves of every recourse our Constitution provides. The state of Maine wants to protect the abusing doctors. Now, this whole doctor conversation gets people a little bit nutty because the people who want to scream about gender-affirming care, laughably, will always make the statement, well, the doctors say this is necessary, that this is saving lives. A doctor that wants to cut up kids? A doctor who looks at a 15-year-old and says, I'll listen to you? A doctor who wants to mutilate children? Honestly, you think I give a damn what that doctor says about anything? You think I care that they've got MD after their name? Did it matter for Kevorkian? Did it matter for Gosnell? You think it matters? What's wrong with you? The answer is many, many things, because you think this is gender-affirming care. As a matter of fact, some of these people are so far gone, they think gender-affirming care is something we should laud and glorify, as opposed to recognizing what it is, a shield to abuse. Yes, parents who are going through this, I'm having this conversation with you. I spent about a year debating with myself this subject. This, what parents go through when they've got a kid in this position. And these parents are desperately trying to hang on to their kids. In some cases, they're pushing this stuff. In some cases, they're totally fine with mutilating their kid because it shows what a wonderful parent they are. Look how gender-affirming I am. Despicable and abuser, you should go to jail. I apologize to no one for this position. This wasn't always where I was at. I was certainly always this way about abusers. But what does one say about parents who are in this rough position where their kid is going down a road and they're just trying to hold on to their child for dear life? So for the people who are abusers, I say that they're guilty of abuse. And I had to ask myself, well, what am I saying about these parents who are just trying to hold on? I feel for them. I have never had to go through this, and for the record, I am outrageously thankful. But if you let your 12-year-old or your 15-year-old mutilate themselves, it is abuse. Even when you don't want it. If you allow it, it is abuse. Now, if you don't allow it and the state allows it, no, I don't think you're guilty of abuse. I think the state is guilty of abuse, and the leadership of that state should go to hell in a handbasket. I think the people who scream gender-affirming care are amongst the most disgusting. Because it isn't actually gender-affirming care. It's not affirming, and it's not care. You're affirming a mental disorder, and you're abusing children. You'll note the number of times I have said the word children. I don't think adults should do this to themselves. If asked, I would say so. I can't control what adults do. I can't say that we should, as a society, not allow these things for adults. As awkward as I think it is, and as wrong as I think it is, and of course, what a lie you're telling yourself, you will never change. Men are not women, and women are not men. Not now, not ever, not never. Men are not women, and women are not men, and that will never change, and you will never change. The people who claim to be affirming will tell you that you can change. That's not affirmation. That's lying. I gotta admit, I think that sucks. Lying sucks. I'm not gonna lie. Not now, not never, not ever. But I don't, I must, for myself, say, look, I would speak out against it. I would explain why I think it's irrational. I would think why I think it's wrong for a society to allow it. After that, I don't know what else I am supposed to do for adults. For children, not only am I willing to draw the line in the sand, I'm willing to set the line on fire to ensure it is not crossed. Because we're having much more of a conversation than just stopping the abusers from abusing these select children. The line is the idea that we are indeed a civil society, a civilized society, a society with a code. Any society that abuses children is not a society that can thrive. And those who scream gender-affirming care are abusers of children. I'm not apologizing for what is fact. No. If we somehow think that we can give up the ghost, give up the line, move the line, acquiesce in any way the protection of children, we're out of our heads. We're out of our heads. No society can thrive this way. What's happening in Maine is disgusting, and Maine is trying to say, hey, we can't survive. Hey, we're not actually a decent country. Hey, morals? Pfft, forget that. Who needs that crap? They aren't good and kind and decent. They're disgusting, and they are immoral, and they should be told so. So the idea that these attorneys general are coming at the state is pretty interesting. Of course, the people over Planned Parenthood have a statement. This bill is fundamentally about access to health care and resisting the devastating impacts of health care restrictions enacted by other states, and those are enacted not for medical reasons, but for political reasons. Just once again, a reminder that Planned Parenthood is awful. My God, is there a body you don't want to mutilate? Good God, Planned Parenthood. There's no health care here. Mutilating children is not health care. You're not on the good side. You're not on the right side of history. You want to mutilate anybody you can, and the smaller the better. That's weird. I wish you weren't like that. But you are. So this is what's going on in the state of Maine. And of course, they all want to put out these pictures where these kids, they're holding up signs that has the Planned Parenthood logo and the trans flag on it. It says, protect trans kids. Why is it that sometimes I feel like I'm the only person trying to protect kids at all? You think Planned Parenthood is trying to protect trans kids by allowing them to get mutilated? Nah. They're not. And wait till these kids learn the most important thing. You're not trans. You might feel that way right now. You might have been pushed in that direction right now. It might be culturally cool right now. But the odds are you're not. So how about we take a breath and a beat? How about we take some time? How about we wait till you get a little bit older? How about you just go out there and you be a kid? How about you kind of feel your way through your emotions? Maybe talk about them with a parent. Can't talk with your parent? Okay, what am I supposed to say to that? Always can't talk with your parent. Parents are not the enemy 24/7, 365, all right? This is not Disney TV. The parents are sometimes all right. And then when you're 18, 19, you still feel a certain way. You can do things. I don't agree with it, but you can do things. But you're 13 right now, and maybe, just maybe, you don't know. And since I'm the adult, I'm going to say no. And I'm certainly not going to pay attention to a state that thinks somehow, because of that, you can be taken from me. You want to talk about where parents are being abused? Right there. The parent says no, and the state says, we know better. You don't want to abuse your kid, but we think abusing your kid is super neato cool. And so we're going to take your kid so we can abuse them. Good God. Yeah. A line in the sand set on fire. This is a line that one does not cross. Children must be protected more often than not from themselves. And certainly from those who absolutely dig abusing. I'm Tony Katz. Derrick Henry is going to the Baltimore Ravens. Holy crap. Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry from the Tennessee Titans. Oh. All right. They really took losing to Kansas City personally. And they're like, yeah, this is never happening again. Tony Katz today. Man, the trading has been nuts. Saquon Barkley leaving the Giants, heading to Philadelphia. My Indianapolis Colts, Gardner Minshew, is now going to be with the Las Vegas Raiders. Nutty. Nutty, but that's crazy. 2 years, $16 million deal, according to Adam Schefter. That could be worth up to $20 million, $9 million fully guaranteed in the first year. Dude, I believe the word you're looking for is formidable. The Baltimore Ravens are going to be formidable. I don't recall the last couple seasons having this kind of big moves. Could be wrong. They did some snap polling on the State of the Union, and it's just like we discussed. You ain't got nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. Oh, and have you seen Joe Biden's budget? It is, it's a great bit of fantasy, but there's something telling in it. That's up next.